Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Good morning, Matt Sue. As always, it is a wonderful privilege to bring another radio program to you this morning. My name is Joe Murdoch, and I'm a member of the Lord's Church that meets in Wasilla. We are greatly honored to bring a portion of God's Holy Word to you this morning. It is our prayer that this morning's radio program challenges, but also encourages and causes all of us to think a little deeper on the things that are of eternal matters. If you recall, a couple weeks ago, I did a radio program on how to become a Christian. Friends, there is absolutely no more important and necessary question one can ask than how to become a Christian. Because listen, only those who are Christians will be saved. And friends, we can find out that answer on how to become a Christian. Because at the end of that radio program, I believe there was enough biblical support and scriptural evidence to come to the conclusion that in order to become a Christian, one must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be fully immersed in the watery grave of baptism. Friends, there are just numerous amounts of scriptures that prove this point. It is not man's system of faith or my own thoughts on this matter, but it is God's design. You see, it is either all His word or none of it is. We can neither add, take away, or do both to his word, as we read in Revelation 22:18. But also consider this point in Deuteronomy 29:29. We read, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." When we read the Bible, we are not reading the mind or opinions of man, nor are we reading a collection of historical figures, merely writing history as they saw it. But the Bible is the mind of God revealed to his creation, revealed to us. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 10 and 11 read, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." The mind of God has been completely revealed on eternal matters. He has revealed to us what we need to know, not only to inherit eternal salvation through the plan of obedience that God has stated, but also how to continue to be faithful. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 3 through 4. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth." For some reason, this thought has been one that has been highly difficult in the religious world to accept. That is, you can live a faithful life that is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Why is this so difficult? Well, it is because of man-made teachings that once you are saved eternally, no matter how you live. This is taught because they falsely claim that since the beginning of the world, God chose some to be saved and some to be lost eternally, no matter how these individuals live, and that God can do this because he is God. Well, as we must always ask when someone makes such a bold claim in regard to the God of the Bible and who God is and what he expects from his creation, we must ask, is that what the Bible teaches? Well, let's consider these passages. First, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. We read, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." And let's consider what's written in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 through 31. "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Matsu, these are just a couple of passages that clearly teach that God does not want any to perish and that he commands all men to repent everywhere, all of his creation. Now, how is it that some will openly say they believe the Bible to be the revealed mind of God and then contradict the plain teachings of Scripture by saying that you don't have to live faithfully once you are saved? Or they teach that how can we know whether someone is saved or whether someone is lost? Listen to the plain teachings of Jesus that he taught those who claim to be followers of his. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 2, we read Jesus saying, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." You see, here Jesus teaches that those who do not bear fruit, he takes them away. Now, what happens to a branch that is taken away from the vine? Friends, it dies. But what also is to be understood from this verse is that one that was once in the vine can be taken out because of not bearing fruit. Yes, Matsu, this is what the Word of God teaches, that you can be in the vine, in other words, connected to Jesus, and because you stop doing what he has commanded, such as bearing fruit, you will be severed from his vine. Let's listen to what Jesus continues to say in John the 15th chapter, verses 5 through 6. We read, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." Matsu, since these scriptures clearly teach that one can separate themselves from the vine, in other words, that is, after they have followed God's plan of salvation by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being fully immersed in the watery grave of baptism, then they can still choose to live an unfaithful life and fall from grace. Consider this passage in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. We read, "For if after they have escaped the pollution of this world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, 'A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire.'" So here are some questions that we would like to answer this morning. The question is, how do we avoid being separated from the vine of Christ? And also, does the Word of God teach us how to live faithfully? And if the Word teaches us how to live faithfully, can we do that? Do we have the freedom to choose? So question one, how do we avoid falling away? Well, friends, the answer is quite simple. You start by building a pattern. You know, this concept is not one that is foreign to us. It is just like that of how one exercises so as to become physically fit. What do? They build a schedule. They follow a routine. And they remain consistent. Friends, it is no different with our spiritual life if we want to remain faithful and pleasing to God. Consider what Paul told the church in Philippi. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, we read, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern." You know, we must build a spiritual schedule that includes prayer and praying often. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. God expects our attitude to be one that is prayer-filled, and we must remain consistent with that. We must also make the time to study the scripture. We must make the time to have Bible study. I will be reading from the King James Version in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. We read, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And we must also set aside time for spiritual discussions, to not have our minds so infested with the worldly desires, but have a spiritual mindset. In Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. We uplift each other when we encourage one another in spiritual matters. See, friends, to avoid falling away, we must take our faith with God so much more seriously than any earthly schedule. Don't allow the distractions of this world to pull you away from God. He must be number one in our lives. Listen to the words of Christ in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We see then that we are to live faithfully to God. So now the important question of, does God's word teach us how to live faithfully? The answer is yes. Let's look at James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. We read, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Friends, the faith that God has told us to have is not one that is complacent. It is not one that is stagnant, but is an active, lively faith. In order to walk in the light, one must be willing to put themselves out there for the cause of Christ, caring about other individuals more than ourselves. Look at the simple illustration that James is giving us, being inspired by the Holy Spirit. Remember, this is the mind of God. He says, "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute, do you say, 'Depart in peace, be warm and filled,' but give them nothing? What does that profit? Thus, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." James is not holding back any punches when it comes to what God expects from those who would consider themselves to be Christians. But yet, if we bear no fruit, then friends, our faith is dead. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 26. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." See, here is Paul reminding the church in Galatia that if you are going to walk in the light, you will bear fruit of the Spirit, not being caught up in the snares of this world. You see, in order to bear fruit, though, you must be connected to the vine. Remember what Jesus said in John 15, "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." Clearly, the Bible teaches us then how to live faithfully. It does not leave it up for us to guess at what God wants. He has told us explicitly, meaning directly, what he wants our faith to look like. He has told us implicitly, meaning only drawing such logical conclusions from what God has said. When we change what God has said explicitly or implicitly, we sin. In 2 John chapter 1 and verse 9, we read, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." Consider this last thought when asking the question, does God teach us how to live faithfully? Matthew 22:34-40 reads, "But when the Pharisees heard that he being Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, and saying, 'Teacher, what is a great commandment in the law?' Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. You know, Matt Seuss, since biblical times, individuals have been trying to trap Jesus. And just as they have failed back then, they still fail today. The teachings from Jesus are not from earth as if they need to be changed or as if they're filled with mistakes, but they are from where he is from, and that is heaven. They are perfect and without error. His teachings show where our heart needs to be in order to live a life faithfully, in order to walk in the light. Our heart needs to be with God first and above all else, then extended to our neighbors. Again, we are not to be passive in our faith, but active. Christianity is not a hate-filled, war-causing, or changing faith. It is the true faith that delivers us from sin. And the truth will set us free from those shackles. But friends, we must walk in the light. One might ask, is it possible to walk in the light? Is it possible to live faithfully? Of course we can. You know, there are some false teachers out there today that would claim, unless you had the Holy Spirit directly intervene in your life, you cannot live faithfully. What a shame that some so-called religious leaders would be allowed to teach such a dangerous doctrine that leads to depression and jealousy. Why does it lead to those struggles? Because what about those individuals who might not have ever experienced that? Does God not love them? Does God not care for them? You see, friends, God has made this saving faith available to all. He has not hid it or left it to our own imagination, but revealed it so we can understand what we are to do to please him. In Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14, we read, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." These scriptures show us and teach us that the grace of God that brings salvation to all men has appeared. How? Well, when Christ went to the cross, he gave himself for us. And in offering himself, the blood that provides forgiveness, that redeems us, that cleanses us, was made available to all who would contact it. When do you contact that blood? In baptism. And then you continue to walk in a newness of life. And from that, we see it teaches us how to live faithfully. Friends, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. When we continuously follow God's system of faith, not man's, we will not have to guess or wonder if we are saved. We will know that we are saved. When we fall short, we have the confidence that the same forgiveness that washed away our sins at baptism is still there to cleanse us after that fact. Listen to 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. We read, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins." See, friends, John is writing to Christians, meaning those who have heard the word and believed and obeyed it. Does he say, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, that you have to live a perfect life and never stumble? Does he say that you don't need the blood of Christ even after you become a Christian? No. God knows our hearts. He knows we're going to have struggles and temptations that trip us up. But in order to walk in the light, you must be in the light. Otherwise, you are in darkness. You are separated from God. But that doesn't have to be so. You can become a Christian by following the plan of salvation that God has designed. Not a system of faith that man has made up, but one that is clearly revealed through the inspired text. And once you follow that plan, we have read from the scriptures this morning that you can continue in that saving faith. It is not up to chance or guessing, but clearly laid out by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His word teaches us that we can be taken away from the vine, meaning that once we become saved, we can fall away. But it does not have to be that way. We can continue in faithful service to our Creator by obeying His word. 1 John chapter 5, 1 through 4. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Matsu, I am so humbled by the privilege it has been this morning to bring a small portion of God's word to you. It is our prayer in the Church of Christ that you would take the scriptures that we have looked at this morning and study them. Friends, we want to clear up any confusion that may be in our life that has been introduced by man and change that so that we can live a life faithfully and pleasing to God. There is nothing more important in this world than knowing you are in a right standing with God. And friends, you can know that. You can know how to be saved and how to stay saved. That is, to walk in the light. If you have any questions about this morning's radio program, it would be an honor to study with you and answer those questions that you may have from the Bible. My name is Joe Murdoch, and my phone number is 907-715-0089. Please don't hesitate to call or text me, and let us reason together by carefully and sincerely studying the Word of God.
We hope you have been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and evening worship at 5 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, would like additional study material, a home Bible study, or a DVD copy of today's lesson, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com. There, you'll be able to download this radio program and other sermons free of charge and listen on demand. That's churchofchristwasilla.com. You can also contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.